This is the 393rd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC. We're here today from the NFL owners meeting in Phoenix, Arizona. We have Coach Arthur Smith coming up today. We also talked to Zach Taylor from the Bengals and Andy Reid about developing quarterbacks, the Super Bowl winning coach from the Kansas City Chiefs. And we talked to owner Arthur Blank about the Lamar Jackson situation and why the Falcons went after Deshaun Watson last year and didn't go after Lamar this year. And the owner was not happy with the NFLPA report card. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.
We're back from break here at the NFL owners meeting. Talked to Coach Arthur Smith today, and he gave us some clarity about the quarterback situation.
You know, I'm going to always focus on us. I'm not going to speculate about guys that are not on our roster. So, you know, obviously we're very excited about having Taylor in the room, a guy that's experienced, a guy that's won games in this league, and it's important. The chemistry in that quarterback room is very important to us, you know, as we expect Desmond to take the next step. But we also have a guy that can go in there and win you football games and be ready to play. You need depth at every position, and that's obviously the most critical position on a football team.
Arthur Smith, once again, let us know that Desmond Ridder is the starting quarterback. He's QB1 for the Atlanta Falcons.
Taylor understands his role, so it's been very clear. And the plan is obviously to start Desmond, and that's our plan going forward right now.
Desmond Ridder was 44-6 for the Cincinnati Bearcats. He won a lot of big football games, a lot in the AAC, at Notre Dame, and against other big football teams. But what impressed the Falcons the most were his intangibles.
Absolutely. You know, that's when you're doing all your prep in the draft. Obviously, guys are going to physically be able to play in this league. But once you realize that physically they have the traits, it's a lot about their makeup, their habits, things you value. And, you know, Desmond's got a unique journey for a quarterback. He wasn't one of those guys that was a prodigy early on and had 15 quarterback gurus from the time he was 12. You know, he had played receiver and then made the switch to quarterback. Wasn't highly recruited. Played a lot of games, started a lot of games in Cincinnati. Helped, you know, change the culture there with Coach Fickell. And we're excited about him. We're excited about his growth and development so far.
Now we know last year Desmond Ridder did not play until the last four games. He sat and watched from behind Marcus Mariota. So the Falcons saw enough to believe that he can improve on his game this coming season.
Started the last four games. And I thought he made a significant improvement. It was first start, the second start, third to fourth. And we expected to make another leap this offseason. So there's always little things you can work on, lower body mechanics, you know, being more comfortable. You know, when you don't change systems on guys all the time, that helps too. That learning curve, when they come back in, what you're focusing on, they're not trying to memorize new formations and everything's foreign to them. So we expect a significant growth for him.
Now, we also know out in free agency, the Falcons added to the quarterback room by getting Taylor Heinicke, the former Collins Hill star who played at Old Dominion and is shown to be a solid backup in the National Football League with a 12-12-1 overall record. Here's what Arthur Smith had to say about what he likes about Taylor Heinicke.
Well, just the way he plays. You know, he's, I love, you know, his persistence. Obviously, he's gotten us twice the last 2 years and sometimes. But that's not just the reason why. You know, watching him from afar, studying him. You know, the longer you're in this, I mean, you make a lot of connections with, you know, players you may have worked with at some point or coaches that you may have crossed over with, guys you actually trust, and everybody that has worked with Taylor, you know, says, you know, the same things over and over. Guys love him, teammate, they gravitate towards him. You know, what you don't want to have is when you go into a game and you got to play another quarterback and you don't have any hope. You know, you don't want to crush morale. And as I said, you need depth at every position, and that position is critical. He'll be ready to play, whether it's the second snap of the season or if he has to play the first or, you know, any point throughout. And we got a lot of faith in him.
Now, one of the big things for Desmond Ridder was he didn't have Kyle Pitts in the lineup last year. We had suspected that he was banged up at times last year before Kyle went down with the knee injury. Arthur Smith didn't give us the timetable, but he did say he played banged up last year before getting the knee injury. But here's what Coach Smith had to say about Kyle Pitts in his going into his third year in the National Football League.
Kyle coming into this league, an enormous amount of hype, you know, like a lot of guys that are taking that high. Kyle had a very productive rookie year. You know, we were obviously playing with Matt. We threw the ball, give or take, you know, almost 200 times more. But that's not Kyle's fault. It's kind of the way it was early in the year. We missed some opportunities with him this year. He played a little banged up. Obviously didn't finish the year. Thought he improved as an overall player. I know a lot of people, because of the way the league's covered with fantasy football and stats, his impact on winning is enormous. Certainly felt it when we missed him. We'll continue to enhance that. But the thing that gives you a lot of encouragement and is that he's actually done it. You know, this isn't me selling you some hypotheticals and 2 years of trying to, you know, blow smoke. But so we're expecting the next step for him, obviously, as he comes back from his knee. Couldn't be more excited about Kyle and his future.
One of the Falcons' big offseason acquisitions was Jesse Bates, the safety from the Cincinnati Bengals, who played at Wake Forest in the ACC. So Coach Smith talked about him being a good influence for A.J. Terrell and Richie Grant. So that means the safety without a job is Jalen Hawkins. So we asked Coach Arthur Smith, what does that mean for Jalen moving forward?
Obviously, Hawk's a valuable member of our football team. And there'll be opportunities, I promise you. I know you want the depth chart right now. Bassie's not ready to give you his depth chart yet. So
I've
got to play out. But you play in a lot of different personnel groups.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of teams playing a lot of 11 personnel, so you're playing a lot of 5DB, 6DB packages.
Well, the AFC coaches went on Monday, and we wanted to talk to Coach Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals on Jesse Bates. And here's what he had to say about the safety, Jesse Bates.
You know, it got to a price where we just couldn't be in the mix. And I'm really happy for Jesse. That's how it played out, to be honest with you. What he meant to our team for 5 years, what he meant to me personally as a guy that was there before I got there, bought into everything we want through some really hard times, played his highest level of football on two consecutive AFC championship game runs, had an interception in the Super Bowl for us, was a leader every step of the way. You know, really proud of Jesse, happy that he got the contract he got. He'll do a great job down there in Atlanta. So, you know, it's one of those moments where it wasn't going to work out for us at that level. But really happy that he got what he deserved down there in Atlanta. That's good for him.
Also, Coach Taylor was on the Cincinnati staff in 2016 under Coach Tommy Tuberville. They started the recruitment of Desmond Ridder, who would go on to win the 44 games for the Bearcats. They played Georgia in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in 2021. Then the next year, both teams made it back to the playoffs, or to the playoffs, not back, but to the playoffs, where Georgia would eventually win the national championships and the Bearcats would go up against Alabama in the semifinals. Here's what Coach Zach Taylor had to say about Desmond Ridder.
I've always really liked Des. I think that the traits you saw in a high school senior were competitive, leadership. I've told this story before, but I went and worked out probably about 15 quarterbacks, and a lot of them had a private quarterback coach running the drill, and you know, they didn't take ownership in it. When I showed up at 6 in the morning to work at Des, he had about 8 to 10 receivers there that he'd gotten to show up at 6 in the morning the day before the Kentucky Derby, which is a big deal in Louisville. He ran all the drills. He told them what routes. The coach didn't have to say a word. And I was just really impressed by his leadership skills. And I think that you were able to see that over his several years at UC as a champion quarterback, one of the all-time great winningest quarterbacks in college football history. And so the intangible stuff is off the charts with Des. How it all translates to the NFL, that's not my problem, you know, and that's I didn't do a full assessment on all those guys coming out because we weren't in a need there, but you know, I'll always be following Des's career in the NFL to see how it goes.
And I have to always stop by and see my guy Andy Reid. He was the tight ends coach back when I covered the Green Bay Packers and you know, in the early Brett Favre years after he got traded from Atlanta. And so we talked to Coach Reid, who's done, he's, you know, he had Brett Favre early, helped with Donovan McNabb, and now he's developed Patrick Mahomes. So he knows a thing or two about developing young quarterbacks. So we talked with Coach Andy Reid on some of the key points in developing young quarterbacks, which is a project that will be going on in Atlanta with Desmond Ridder.
But you could see him throw in college.
Oh, you couldn't see it before.
Right, yeah. The throw game is now, they start when they're little kids now, and RPOs, and so the guys are throwing the football. Before, you take guys and you go, you know, Brett Favre ran the option in college. You know? So you're taking them on and going, well, maybe. And then, you know, he's a pretty good example for this, too, because his first stop in Atlanta didn't work out. And some of it was him not doing the right things. Some of it was the way the coach perceived him. General manager liked him. Did the coach like him? Man, who knows, right? And then we get him at Green Bay. Comes in with Mike Holmgren, who's a throw guy, and was willing to teach him. He bought into it, and the rest is history.
Now, one of the funny things is back in the day, we got to go to practice, so you heard everything on the field. Was it no 30 minutes of stretching, what they give us now? You get, you know, a little walkthrough action and then 20 minutes of stretching, which shouldn't count as part of our time at practice. But back then, you could see Andy Reid and Steve Mariucci and John Gruden being the buffer between Holmgren and Brett Favre. Coach Holmgren and Brett, he coached him hard. And so I got Coach Andy Reid to reflect about that a little bit here on how they developed Brett Favre in Green Bay.
Mike Holmgren was smart. He was demanding. And it was almost like a good cop, bad cop. He was tough on Brett. Now, Brett knew that he was good with him, but he pushed him and pushed him hard. And then Steve Mariucci and myself, we were the buffer when we were coaching him. So we did the teaching part, and Mike kind of came in with the heavy hand.
Right now, we're going to take a pause for the cause from the AJC's The Bowtie Chronicles podcast. This is D. Orlando Ledbetter.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs.
And I'm Ned Ravone. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Welcome back to the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I want to take this time here again to thank everyone who subscribes to the AJC and AJC.com. It's what makes all of this possible. Now, if you haven't joined our community yet, we have a special deal right now for listeners to this podcast. You can get unlimited digital access to everything the AJC has to offer for the next 6 months for just 99 cents. That's all of our stories on AJC.com or our terrific e-paper and all of our newsletters, including Bradley's Buzz from legendary columnist Mark Bradley. That's just 99 cents for the next 6 months. So to take advantage of this offer, go to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. Again, that's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. And, you know, we needed some clarity, around the league. You know, Daniel Jones is making $40 million. Lamar's got a $32.4 million franchise tag that they can play on or can sign. And once they get traded, that was a big item here on Monday that he released that he wanted to be traded on Twitter. And last year, the Falcons went after Deshaun Watson, but did not go after Lamar Jackson this year. Here's Arthur Blank explaining that dichotomy and then also discussing Desmond Ridder and the team's quarterback situation in great detail.
I think we explored the one this last year, which is what our responsibility was. We didn't explore it deeply, but we spent some time on it. And from a legal standpoint, personal standpoint, value standpoint, you know, player, just a variety of things. And, you know, soon after we got into the exploring, we decided it really wasn't, you know, a very good match for us. I think Lamar's situation, and I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about players on other clubs, but Lamar's situation, I think, is, you know, is very different. A different player, different time. You have a winner, you know, certainly a most valuable player in the league. Number of games, there's no question. He's a, you know, top, one of the top quarterbacks in the league. You know, I think there's been, looking at objectively, I'd say, is, you know, some concern over whether or not he can, you know, play his style of game for, you know, I mean, how long can that last? I'm not sure. He's only 26, so hopefully a long time for his benefit and anybody that, you know, he signs with. But he's missed 5 to 6 games each of the last 2 years. And, you know, this is not like baseball, basketball, where you're playing, you know, 82 or 182 games, you know, where baseball is now. But, you know, I mean, each game counts a lot in our business. So, and I think, you know, more from a positive standpoint, I'd make two other points, is that, you know, the young man that we drafted in the third round last year, Desmond Ridder, I think, and it's not just the last 4 games he played. That's a piece of the, that's a piece of the pie. But it's really what he's shown since the day he started, showed up on campus as a leader, as a player. He's matured a lot, you know, from a physical standpoint, his understanding of the game. Last year when Marcus was here, Marcus was great working with him, very supportive. So, you know, he's matured a lot during the whole after draft and OTAs and, you know, preseason and, you know, camp and what have you, and obviously throughout the season. And, you know, culminating in the 4 games in which he started. And I think the sense was, we talked to the coach about, or coaches, and I know Coach Smith kind of declared today, if you will, I think what we internally already knew that he was going to be our starting quarterback next year. So, I mean, he played, you know, 50 games in college, he won 44 of them. There's not many quarterbacks in the history of, and I don't want to misspeak, but, you know, Rich McKay was telling me the other day, I think there's only like 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the history of college ball that have won as many games as he won in college. So, got a lot of experience winning games in big situations. And so we have, you know, we have a lot of faith and confidence. And we were fortunate getting a really good backup quarterback I think that the Heineke, from my observation, I think he can play at a very high level. I think God forbid something happens with Desmond, I think we can continue to play competitively. He's certainly shown that in Washington, so I would say he's a premium backup quarterback, and I think we feel fortunate that we're able to recruit him and bring him to Atlanta. But I would say, Lamar, I think every club, does their own evaluation, and, we certainly, did, a formal evaluation. We had a discussion amongst, ourselves. I wasn't involved in those, but, the coach did, and Terry did, and I think Rich was involved as well. And, we just came out of a period of time that those of you that follow Atlanta understand that, last year we set a record for the most dead money in the history of the NFL. We probably had, in my 21 years as owner, we had the least amount of cap room we've ever had before. This year we had a healthy amount of cap room, not very much dead money, a little bit, not much. And so, having, compensation in 25% or so tied up in one player, we've lived through that. And it definitely, can put a lot of restraint on your ability to round out a roster and to, to have the depth on the roster given 17 games. And, the nature of the sport is still a contact sport. Or, as Coach Vrabel said the other day, it is a collision sport. So, we need to build a team.
Also, at the Combine, one of the big things was the NFLPA releasing their reports about the strength and conditioning, the food, everything that the players want, locker room size, and the Falcons didn't fare very good in that report. And owner Arthur Blank was not happy about it. Here's Arthur Blank on the NFLPA report about the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm going to tell you what I told our folks internally, candidly. There were some timing restrictions that we've had, but I told this to Rich, and I told this to Terry, and I told this to Coach Smith. I mean, I don't ever want to appear on that report again, in terms of the ranking that we got in certain areas. Now, they have their reasons. There's timing issues. There's, issues from a logistical standpoint, when we could actually make these improvements, et cetera. But it's our responsibility, as leaders, is to listen, and in this case to our players, understand, if we have a definite groundswell of support or call out for whether it be training areas or strength areas or whether the size of the locker room, whatever, we need to listen to that sooner, and we need to respond to it sooner than we did on the last report card, which I wasn't thrilled with. It's not that the report card bothered me. Mm-hmm. It's that we weren't doing a good enough job hearing what our players were saying. And I think it's their job, my job, but it's their job as part of my job to make sure that, we are looking around corners and anticipating. And that's our job as leaders. It's not just to respond. That's what a goalie does in hockey or in soccer for that. But it's, we're supposed to be, okay, this is a problem, this is an issue, we know it. And there was nothing there that came as a surprise. And there's plans now to respond to all of it, which is great, but I'd much rather see us respond sooner rather than later.
Well, hey, everybody, we thank you all for listening to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Been pretty busy out here in the desert. We gave you the Lamar Jackson story online. We talked to Zach Taylor about Desmond Ridder. We got Coach Arthur Smith here this morning to declare Ridder as the number one starter. Got notes for you on AJC.com about Kyle Pitts, Eddie Goldman, and Jalen Hawkins and how he's going to be used possibly in some packages. And then we heard from Falcons owner Arthur Blank kind of explaining the details and the intricacies of the Lamar Jackson decision. We haven't heard that in great detail here. We'll have that's on the podcast. It'll be up online. And then also, he was not happy about that NFL report card. I knew he wasn't. Glad we were finally able to get that. And you can expect a bunch of changes out in Flowery Branch with regards to the weight room, the facilities, the food, everything that they did poorly on. There's already work underway to get that straightened out. That's probably from his customer service background during his days with Home Depot. But the owner was not happy. So with that, we appreciate you coming by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. The owners meeting, nothing. We didn't get the, any sale of the Commanders, but a lot of simple, small rule changes. Players can wear zero now, stuff like that. You'll see some of that online. But we're going to move back home here and hunker down. It's hunker down for the draft time. We will be getting our position by position articles ready. I was told by somebody that, hey, maybe I wanted to go to Oregon for a pro day. I don't know when theirs is, but that would mean maybe they're going cornerback here. But we're working on our latest mock draft. We'll have that up for you here too soon on AJC.com. So we want to thank everybody for listening to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Tell a friend. Follow us on Apple or Spotify. And if you're not a subscriber, there's time to get on board with that fine offer. Once again, thanks for listening. Take care and have a great rest of your week.